Today, as we continue to follow the star this Advent, I'm searched by how much we're all searching for something, searching for answers, searching for hope, searching for belonging and purpose in this world. And as we prepare to hear God's word today, I invite you to pause with me for a moment, remember what this search is all about, and watch with me this short video clip. In our text this morning, we find the Israelites worn out and exhausted, a feeling I know many of us can relate to. They have been held in captivity for far too long, and they are longing to go home, to experience the traditions and the family and the feel of home. They're wondering if God has abandoned them, wondering if God ever really existed at all. And God, in response, gives this somewhat sarcastic reply to their complaints, to their cries, and then offers them a touch of comfort afterwards. Hear God's hope found in Isaiah 40. Are you so ignorant? Are you so deaf to the words of God, the words he gave you before the world began? Have you never heard or understood? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. The people below must seem like grasshoppers. He is the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He dooms the great men of the world and brings them all to naught. They hardly get started, barely take root when he blows on them and their works wither, and the wind carries them off like a straw. With whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? As a shepherd leads his sheep, calling each by its pet name and counts them that none are lost or strayed, so God does with the stars and the planets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have to be honest, I feel a little bad for the Israelites here. They're having a hard time and they're desperately searching for God, calling out his name, looking for a sign, something that they can hold on to and remember that God's promises are good and that God's promises are true. And instead of a word of comfort or a friendly hand, they get what amounts to a royal smackdown from God, who has no tolerance for their complaining anymore. I get it. The Israelites have been a whiny, unfaithful bunch up until this point. But really, they just wanted a little bit of comfort, something to help them carry on one more day in the midst of the challenges that they'd been facing, something to remind them of the blessings God had promised to them for generations. Yet instead of sympathizing, instead of lending a listening ear, Isaiah puts the Israelites in their place. And he reminds them just how big God is and how itty-bitty we must be in comparison. Isaiah paints this picture of God sitting enthroned high above the heavens, ruler of all creation, the galaxies stretched at his feet, woven together to create this heavenly courtyard for God to reign in. Each one more carefully crafted than the last, each star, moon, and planet designed by God and called by name, made by the Lord Almighty, the glories of whom none can imagine. And then there's us, little grasshoppers in God's sight. Think of the number of stars that God commands. Could you imagine what the Israelites must have thought when they read this, looking up into their beautiful heavens where they could see so many more stars than we can see today? And if they tried to count them, they'd never make it to the end. And imagine how many stars exist in our universe, the most majestic sight ever seen. How much power and majesty God really commands. Think with me, if you will, about just one star and how mysterious that one star could be. The star that led the wise men to the Christ child so many years ago. Imagine the power and the might that went into that single display of power. Just a tiny corner of God's creation, and yet how almighty God is in that moment. None of us are really sure what that celestial body was that guided the wise men to the Jesus so many years ago. Some think it was symbolic. Others try to find natural causes, a supernova or a comet, something that would have guided the wise men to the baby Jesus. One particularly convincing theory comes from a scholar, Dr. Ernest Martin, based on his study of astronomy and of biblical history. He argues that these wise men would have been skilled astronomers, and they would have been practiced at studying the stars. They would have known to look to the stars for signs of the future, because that's what people of this culture believed. Here in this modern-day region of Iraq, they would have been scouring the heavens, looking for a sign of this coming king, which they would have heard about through Jewish testimony, and that they believed in their own religion and faith that a deliverer was coming. So they would have kept a watchful eye on the heavens, waiting, searching for this newborn king. One of the amazing things that we can do with our technology today is that we can map out the heavens from any day in time, from any place on earth, and we can see what the people of old would have been able to see right before our very eyes. So historians and astronomers have been scouring the skies in the Middle East above where Jesus would have been born around the time that we think he was born, trying to figure out what exactly that star was that led the wise men to the Christ child. And what they discovered is that in August of 3 BC, just as the wise men were peering over the skies, dawn broke, that two planets, Jupiter and Venus, rose together and shone extra bright because they were lined up together, shining so bright that nobody could have missed it, especially not somebody looking for a sign. For these ancient wise men, these two planets would have meant something significant to them. In their culture, Jupiter signified kingship, Venus signified motherhood, pointing to an undeniable sign in their eyes that a king had been born. Even more than that, the stars rose in the constellation of Leo, which to the wise men's culture stood for the tribe of Judah, the Jewish people. So here they knew that a Jewish king had been born, ready to be called King of the Jews, and they promptly picked up their things and went off to follow this star. If that wasn't magnificent enough, this alignment of these two planets happened again later that next year, but this time to the west, which would have been directly above Jerusalem, leading the way to the newborn king. It rose three more times over the course of the next few months, and it's no wonder that these wise men packed up their things and journeyed afar to find this newborn king that the prophecies had talked about for oh so long, guided by this star in the heavens, directed by God's majestic hand. Now, I know we'll never really know for sure what that star was in the sky that guided the wise men, but isn't it amazing that God directs not just that star, but every single star in the sky? That as the scriptures tell us, that he created each one of them and calls them by name. Isaiah says, "Look up into the heavens. Who created all these stars?" As a shepherd leads his sheep, calling each by its pet name and counting them to see that none are lost or strayed. So God does with the stars and the planets. It's humbling, to say the least. It puts our problems here on earth, our discontent and our worries and our fears into context, doesn't it? Makes us think twice about asking whether or not God really knows what he's doing. Makes us trust even more that God, the author of all creation, has a plan for our lives, just like he has a plan for the lives of each and every star above us. We indeed feel like grasshoppers before God, lowly insects, not worthy of a second thought. Who are we that God should hear our cries? Who are we that the Lord over all the universe should care what happens to us? Isaiah puts things into perspective for us, doesn't he? But just when we're about to give up hope and think that God couldn't possibly care for little grasshoppers like us, Isaiah shifts and reminds us that it's the same God who calls each star by name, that knit each one of us together in our mother's wombs, and leads us like a shepherd gently leads his sheep. Listen to the second half of this passage. Hear the hope and comfort that is offered to us. O Jacob, O Israel, how can you say that the Lord doesn't see your troubles and isn't being fair? Don't you yet understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary? No one can fathom the depths of his understandings. He gives power to the tired and worn out and strength to the weak. Even the youth shall be exhausted and the young men will all give up. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And they should mount up on wings like eagles, and they should run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Of course God cares about us. Of course God hears our cries. The Lord of all the universe commands the stars in the skies and keeps the heavens in motion. And if he can do that, how much more will he care for you, his beloved child? In God's infinite wisdom, he loves and cares for each one of us, guides our steps, and provides our way. And just like we can never fully understand the workings of the universe, we will never fully understand why God allows our lives to unfold the way that they do, why God allows certain things to happen, why our days go the way that they do. But that doesn't mean that God is not still in control, that he doesn't care for us greatly, intimately, deeply. In fact, we are loved so greatly that God came down from heaven to live among us, to become a grasshopper himself, small, fragile, weak, one among billions, and yet king over all. This is where our searching should take us this Advent, to the person of Christ, to God's love and forgiveness, to Jesus' incredible teachings on grace and mercy. Because it's by living into this truth, following the example that Christ set for us, that our searching is finally made complete. It's in knowing Jesus and trusting in his love that our strength will be renewed, and that we too will mount up on eagle's wings. The world around us may seem uncertain, but there's one thing that we can rest assured in, that the Lord of all the universe loves us dearly, that in Christ we too can know the joy and peace that only God can offer. Let us pray. God, I thank you that you have loved us so dearly, even though we are mere grasshoppers in your sight. I thank you that you control the universe and you harness that same power to care for us and to guide our lives. God, I ask that you would help us to increase our faith, to trust in you when things seem uncertain, to know your love, and to find you as we search for the answer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.